Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 1st of November, recording at 8:37 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly a little firmer. China had another upward dynamic, and that led to a decent gain also in the Hang Seng Index. Australia went in the other direction, a bit of a downward dynamic here today on some concern over, I think, over the manufacturing sector and housing, according to the few small headlines I saw on it. The European stock markets were quite firm here today, closing out with good gains, mostly over 1%, including the UK FTSE 100 index up 1.37%, the FTSE MIB, that's Italy, up 1.7%. They were, let's say, generally over around the 100% level or higher. Now, Wall Street had a solid performance, and up over 1%, we've got the NASDAQ, which has been lagging, up 1.44%. The Dow and the S&P up a little over 1%. Canada, smaller gain, but 0.62%. And Brazil, up a whopping 2.3%. Against that background, long-dated government bond prices have weakened in here today. The U.S. 30-year long bond future is down 29/32 as I speak in after-hours trading. The dollar was initially a little weaker, and then it moved to a little firmer. So the dollar index is back above the 80 level, and the euro slipped down to, it's not much, we're not talking about big action here, slipped down to 129.42, having been up to 129.83. The Aussie is a little firmer, up at 104. And Sterling remains, it's off its highs, but it remains steady, 161.23. Precious metals, now they rallied this morning, but then gave up those gains and mostly closed with small losses. The exception was palladium, which is up $2 and a bit, but well off its high of the day. Silver trading after hours here at 32.30 has been up to 32.69. Gold is down $5.40 as I speak. That's at 7.15 and change. 17.15 and change. Was up as high as 17.27 and a half. Platinum. Also, platinum's down. It's 15.73. That's down $3.80. Okay. What else here? Grains and beans. Well, the industrial metals, they were all a bit firmer. The Brent crude down a little bit to 108 on an further easing of tensions in Iran. Owens commented on that in his copy. And the WTI, though, a little bit firmer up at just below 87. And agricultural commodities, mostly a little bit easier here today. Okay, so what's going on overall? Well, I was interested to see the upward dynamic. I think I'd mentioned a couple of days ago or so, earlier this week, I mentioned that we needed to see another upward dynamic for the China A shares to be consistent with a support building process. And we did see that in here today, and it looks modestly encouraging. And mind you, it has in the past, and we've only seen technical rallies, but this is occurring at a lower level against a background of attractive valuations, and probably most importantly of all, at a time when various stimulative measures have been introduced, and we're about to end in a couple of weeks' time, most of the uncertainty regarding the changeover in leadership in terms of, you know, who stands where on the podium or the speaker's platform or whatever it is, the gallery from which they review parades, perhaps. But so that uncertainty will soon be out of the way. And China doesn't have to do too much more on the upside to establish, instead of a trading range here, to establish a short-term upward trend. And it has already broken the short-term downward trend that had persisted until a couple of months ago. Now, so I think that looks interesting, and Hong Kong has been very firm, currently testing some psychological and lateral resistance, and Asia packing well generally. And I maintain the view that it's likely to lead to the upside, having taken a bit of a back seat while the concern over China was at its fever pitch. Now the Asian action is, the European action is reasonably favorable overall. We're seeing a consolidation of gains. The Euro Stoxx 50 index is holding up quite well in this process. I've done a technical review of some of these indices in my own comment section, and it's worth looking at some of those. I think that what impresses me or the most, and well, I think what's most important to me, I'm going to phrase it that way, regarding Europe, is that the word euro and the word crisis are no longer inseparable. We hear less and less about that. So what we basically have here is a situation where progress to a more sensible, more sustainable Eurozone is being made, and that is reflected here by the markets. We're not getting much talk of a breakup of the euro here these days. So that's a crisis that has sort of moved off the center stage. And I think that the China concerns, to the extent that that represents a crisis, I think it's a rather minor one, but that, I think, could very easily move off center stage in the not too distant future. Then we have the U.S. economy, which the data is more often mildly favorable than not. And although the earnings season now mostly over, as that's sort of the reporting of the earnings for the third quarter mostly over, that's been a disappointment. But the market's held up reasonably well overall. We're about to move beyond the uncertainty of the presidential election, which is very close. Some key Republican advocates, like the wily Karl Rove, who had a piece in the Wall Street Journal today, I've led with that, because he's adamant that Romney is going to squeak this. But when you look at the betting houses, whether it's InTrade or all the various different UK bookmakers, and I put in a couple of links on that, they show Obama being a fairly strong favorite, and the bookmakers are not operating from the background of any particular bias. So that's interesting. I'll be awfully relieved when the whole U.S. election thing is out of the way, because it's such a distraction overall, and it's gone on tediously for ages and ages, as these things do. Overall, and I maintain a comment that I made quite some time ago that for Romney to win, I think we have to see an extra high enthusiasm and determination to vote among his supporters, and we need to see a fair amount of apathy among previous Obama supporters. We'll all know come the end of Tuesday, hopefully. Hopefully we will all know. Now, what else to mention here? On the U.S. stock market, I think the lifting of the election uncertainty might, I don't think it'll be a negative for Wall Street. People are now talking a lot about the fiscal cliff, but, you know, I maintain that these U.S. politicians are not going to go lemming fashion over their own cliff here. And so I think we're going to get some sort of compromise deal to at least extend or avoid the problem of a tipping over that so-called fiscal cliff here. And that would at least defer another crisis. So that's not all that bad a background, particularly when you consider that all the central banks are still in stimulative mode and that commodity price inflation is quiescent here at the moment, not least in terms of oil prices. And that's very important overall. So so not all that bad a background overall. Now, Wall Street, which is, I mentioned, was firmer in here today. We've got the S&P up at 1427. And that 1400 level is a bit of a psychological barrier here overall. So for the bulls, it's mildly encouraging to see it push up from that level. The NASDAQ, although steadier in here today, that has been the underperformer here recently. And Apple shares, the most important share in terms of weighting, has continued to be soft here. It's trading around or a little below the $600 level overall, and it is still in a clear downward trend. It's very close to its rising 200-day moving average. Usually, when stocks have accelerated as much above their 200-day moving average within a long upward trend, as Apple has done, usually they come back and not only reach the MA, but they actually break beneath it for a bit and perhaps range really for a number of months off on either side of the MA. I would not be the least bit surprised if that's what actually happened here for Apple overall. So that remains a concern. If I'm too cautious, if we were to see some clear upward dynamics breaking the short-term downward trend in Apple, then I think that the overall outlook for the U.S. stock market would further improve. Meanwhile, we're still in this ranging consolidation phase, but we've stemmed the decline here for at least the short term. And all along, I've not been looking for more than a corrective phase in this market, and I don't see anything technically to necessitate a revision of that overall forecast. It's a normal reaction for most of the indices. It's more of a correction for Apple, but you know, this is nothing like the setback that we saw for indices last year, or even at the end of the first quarter here this year. And long-dated government bond prices, lengthy topping out process, lengthy bottoming out process for the yields, in my opinion. Precious metals, they have found support here in the last week, and I maintain that there should be considerably more upside than downside from current levels. We can expect some backing and filling here, and some support building, perhaps. But I would not be surprised to see a stronger performance between now and the end of the year. Seasonably favorable factors, the money supply factors are favorable, and I think that's pretty much it. So all the best.